Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
This is America on the Road, named best radio show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 31st year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nerad. With me is co-host Chris Teague back with us. Chris, so great to have you back with us, and I have a quick question for you. Do you think Stellantis is going to get rid of Chrysler or Dodge?
Well, it's great to be back with you, and as much as I hate to say it, I think one of those brands is going to be on the chopping block.
I think maybe so. Kind of a hint of what we're going to talk about today, Chris, because Stellantis has a new chairman, and reports are he is eyeing streamlining its operations. We've heard that before, coming out of Washington, D.C., so have the details on that. Electric vehicle owners are more satisfied with their vehicles in 2024 than they were in 2023, but J.D. Power reports there are warning signs on the horizon, so we'll have details on that. And here's a question for you. I don't know. Do they call it the DMV in Maine? It's the DMV here. It's the Secretary of State's office in Illinois, I know. But they're notoriously troublesome, right?
Yeah, we have the Bureau of Motor Vehicles here, so it's the BMV. But the B does not mean it's any speedier than the D in the other words. So, yeah, there's some work to do here.
Yeah, interesting. Of course, there's controversy surrounding the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and Tesla, so we'll have our individual takes on that. A lot to talk about, right, Chris?
Yeah, there always is. It's an exciting time.
Indeed it is. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my soon-to-be-released new book. It's actually coming out this week, Only One Thing Stays the Same, and Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury, so imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at DrivingToday.com/auto-insurance. That's DrivingToday.com/auto-insurance. Chris, what vehicle will you be talking about today?
I spent the week in the 2025 Hyundai Tucson. I can't wait to tell you all about it.
I spent some time in that vehicle too. My test car is a 2025 Honda Civic Si. We have a terrific guest for you as well. Sam Fiorani is Vice President of Global Forecasting at Auto Forecast Solutions. Knowledgeable industry guy, so we'll be chatting with him. We have a lot of show, don't we, Chris?
Yeah, it's a big week.
It is a big week. There's so much going on. I was at spring training driving this Honda Civic, so that will be interesting. I didn't make the team again, Chris. Kind of sad for me.
You can always dream.
Yes, I continue to dream, and I think those days are probably long since over. Well, stay with us, and we'll be right back with more of America on the Road. Thanks for being with us.
Lowe's knows that free is just better. That's why MyLowe's Rewards is free to join. As a member, you earn points towards MyLowe's money on eligible purchases, get exclusive free gifts, and earn free shipping at Silver Key status, all on top of weekly member-only deals. Don't wait. Join MyLowe's Rewards for free today and start saving more. Lowe's. We help. You save. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day. Featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern time. And weekend replays, 24-7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Is that a new Samsung Galaxy A15 5G?
Yeah, I got it for free when I joined Cricket Nation.
Sounds pretty great.
At Cricket, anyone can get a new phone when they switch.
Whoa.
With a high-quality camera, meaning more flattering selfies for all. And super fast 5G, so you can post them for all to see. Your friends, your family, your ex. Free phone! Free phone!
Okay, I'll switch.
Welcome to Cricket Nation.
Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. Must bring your number to Cricket on a $60 a month voice plan. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Fees, terms, and other restrictions apply. See cricketwireless.com for details.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built. Providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below ground lightweight geoform fill, Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
Progressive presents a testimonial of sorts.
Hey, slow down!
Oh yeah? Well, you drive like my grandma! She's a very attentive and courteous driver who wears a seatbelt and always uses her turn signals. She's also a talented painter and has very low cholesterol. Not that that has anything to do with her driving, just thought a more complete picture of who she is might be interesting. Anyway, have a nice day.
Safe driver? Get Snapshot from Progressive and get a personalized rate based on how you drive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California or from all agents. Surcharge possible for unsafe driving.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague. This is Jack Nered back with you, and we're so glad Chris is with us after a week's absence. A lot has happened in the past week. That is certainly true. A lot going on in the car business. So this is the news segment, so let's talk about some car news. Stellantis, of course, is the parent company of the Jeep, Ram, Dodge, Chrysler, Alfa Romeo, Fiat brands. Among other things, they have a new chairman, I think, as I mentioned, and he's looking for a new CEO, and he's also looking to perhaps streamline the company's operation. Jeep and Peugeot, in their various areas, are pretty strong players. Ram, I think, is doing okay. And then there are others, right? Right, Chris? Chrysler and Dodge, maybe not so much. What's your take on the fortunes of those two brands going forward?
Well, you know, I think if you ask anybody at Stellantis, they will probably say firmly that none of the brands are going anywhere, but that could change going forward. I mean, look, Dodge has, what, two vehicles, three vehicles on sale? Chrysler doesn't have anything other than the minivan on sale right now. I don't see, you know, where they would go with these brands. They've, you know, Dodge has the EV, the electric Challenger out now. But they lost the V8, and that's really, I think, hurt their prospects with buyers because that was really the big draw for them.
Yeah, I think you could fold the minivan into Ram, maybe, if you wanted to. I don't think it would fit particularly well in Jeep. I think that would be a bit of a stretch for Jeep. But it's kind of truck-like in its own way. Used to be a Dodge, so if you just wanted to eliminate one of those, you could say goodbye to Chrysler, kind of sad, because that was the founder of a whole big one of the big three there. Of course, then you might be saying goodbye to the Dodge brothers, too. So.
Yeah, you know, I think it takes a little bit longer to go this route, but I think improving quality and reducing recall and repair costs, warranty repairs, is a good way to save money. You know, Ford came out with this. Jim Farley several years ago said, look, we've got to save money on warranty repairs and quality. And I think that could be a good way for Stellantis to go. Like I said, though, it's not going to help them immediately. So we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, I think a lot of those brands are all consolidated in individual dealerships across the country anyway. So. But then when you have brands, you have to advertise particular brands, or if you don't advertise, then they really fall fallow. They've got 20 new models coming out in the next, I guess, 24 months or something like that. Many of them EVs and hybrids. I'm not sure the timing is particularly great for that. It's interesting that Fiat is very strong in other markets, but not very strong in our market.
Yeah, brands like Fiat and Alfa Romeo don't have the best reputation in America. I mean, they make some exciting cars, right? But, I mean, Americans are pretty pretty skeptical of their quality at this point, given the Italian cars we saw in the 70s and 80s.
Well, speaking of EVs, J.D. Power has just done a survey of the electric vehicle owner experience. They do a thing called the Electric Vehicle Experience Ownership Study each year, and they released the 2025 results that found that EV owners are feeling better about their electric vehicles than they were last year. There'd been kind of a slump in that the last year or so. And there's a bigger market, I guess, for EVs, at least slightly bigger, I think about between 8 and 9% of the total market. At the same time, a lot of uncertainty, right, Chris, about where the EV market is going forward. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, we have the threat of tariffs coming across. You know, a lot of EVs for sale in the United States are built in Canada and Mexico. Prices remain high, and if the federal tax credit goes away, that's going to chop into a lot of buyers' hopes. I think, you know, up to $7,500 off is a good incentive for people to buy these things. But, you know, it will be interesting to see. You've said many times that you want the market to decide which vehicles are sold and which are more popular, and that looks to be where we're headed. So I think you'll get your answer here pretty soon, Jack.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. I mean, because of the likelihood that we're going to see those tax credits go away, well, a couple of things. One, if you're interested in EV, you might want to step up right now and go out there and get one. Because that might not be available to you going forward. J.D. Power is forecasting that EV market share will remain flat in 2025. It wouldn't strike me as strange if it actually dropped, because I think there's that uncertainty is weighing on people's minds even now, so we'll see what happens there. A lot of people were buying EVs because they had the incentives to buy them, and they were very, very inexpensive. If that goes away, that's going to change things, won't it?
Yeah, but I think J.D. Power's scoring here is good news for buyers, right? I mean, some of the issues they've recorded in years past for EVs and other new vehicles, you know, the frustrating technology with EVs, specifically charging difficulties, you know, unreliable chargers and things. So at least this is showing that the market and the technology is moving forward and improving and making life a little bit easier to live with these vehicles.
I guess there is some improvement among public charging, at least among mass market folks. Those are people with popularly priced cars, not luxury vehicles. But there's still, I would say, the satisfaction is fairly low. On a 1,000-point scale, it's under 400. So I wouldn't call that exactly great progress here. On the other hand, I think battery electric vehicles seem exceptionally loyal. They seem to be willing to go through a lot, and at the same time, just they're going to stay the course. 94% of battery electric vehicle owners says they are likely to consider purchasing another BEV or battery electric for their next vehicle. Of course, consider, it's easy to say I'm going to consider. I can say I'm going to consider a BEV or I would consider flying to the moon. I'm not going to do it, and I'm certainly not going to go to Mars, but it could be considered. There you go.
Yeah, you know, as an EV owner, I would say we would consider buying another one, but it's not on the top of our priority list. In fact, I'm testing the Genesis GV80 Coupe this week, and my wife said she'd like to trade the Honda Prologue in for that, which is a gas vehicle. So
yeah,
I think, you know, we're at least platform agnostic, but I can see how some people would be more loyal.
Yeah. So interesting stuff there. I think there might be efforts to change the way DMVs work. And I think maybe we would all applaud that. It's kind of interesting. There was an opinion piece in CBT News that kind of compared what's going on with the infamous or famous Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, with what could go on in state governments, making state governments like the bureaucracy at DMVs more efficient. I think we'd probably all like to see that. You know, I think one of our major interfaces with state government is with the Department of Motor Vehicles or its equivalent in various states, and it's not necessarily a positive experience, is it, Chris?
No, it's often very slow, as you know. Anybody who's you probably have quite a few more people to wait in line behind there than I do here. But
California DMV is, you know, I just want to blow your brains in.
Yeah, infamous. But, you know, even once you get through the line, getting your documents, getting the driver's license, whatever thing you're there to do takes a long time, costs money, and there are often mistakes and things that happen there too. So I'm all for this. I mean, I think that any effort to modernize this in a way that's safe with data and things like that is I'm on board with it.
Yeah, I am too. In fact, in California, a lot of folks, including myself, go to the auto club as opposed to going to the Department of Motor Vehicles. So a private solution is better than the public solution. Go figure. Well, here's something I think maybe you and I disagree on a little bit, and I'd like to talk about it. It is the, I guess, controversy about the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration cutting some people, and also what's going on with Tesla, who, of course, is essentially run by Elon Musk, who is head of Doge. I mean, what's your take on this? I'd like to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah, look, the cuts, they came out to around 4% for the NHTSA, which, you know, doesn't put them below the level they were when Biden took office. So the department has grown like 30% in the past 4 years. So these cuts don't put it back to anywhere near where it was before. That said, Jack, you know, three of the people that were working on a 7-person team investigating autonomous vehicles were fired as part of this effort. And the timing for me is very suspicious, right? We were talking about this off the air, that the person who runs Tesla is now in charge of cutting these departments and just conveniently cuts the department that is investigating his company. So, you know, whether it is or isn't connected, I don't think any of us will ever know, at least.
Yeah, I mean,
before.
I think the proof will be in the pudding, though, Chris. I think we'll see, you know, what happens with this investigation. I think both you and I have been critical of Tesla in the past about some of this stuff. So I don't think the answer has come yet. We'll just have to see where this goes.
I mean, yes, I'll agree with that.
Okay, very good. And we will be right back with some road tests. My test car is a 2025 Honda Civic Si. We have a terrific guest for you as well. Sam Fiorani is Vice President of Global Forecasting at Auto Forecast Solutions. So stay with us, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than $1 a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than $1 a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Back to America on the Road. It is road test time here on America on the Road. I'm Jack Nerad. Along with me is Chris Teague, back with us after a week's absence. We're glad to have him with us. And Chris, you were driving a vehicle that I had an experience with very recently too, so I think we can bat this one back and forth a little bit. Tell us about the Hyundai Tucson.
Yeah, Jack, I spent the week behind the 2025, the week behind the wheel, there we go, of the 2025 Hyundai Tucson. The Tucson got a refresh for 2025. It got a new grille, bumpers, new infotainment system, a new steering wheel, and some other features inside. The pricing for this vehicle starts at around $30,000 on the low end. My limited test vehicle came out at just around $40,000 after destination. So you have quite a few choices in between there, but none of them are exceptionally expensive. Jack, before I go too far, what are your initial thoughts on the new Tucson?
This is a vehicle that both I and my wife love. I mean, we really, we spent a lot of time in a hybrid version of this vehicle fairly recently. And, you know, she just loves the kind of interesting interior touches, like the shelf on the passenger side. She just thinks it's a very convenient car in a lot of ways. And, you know, I just think it's up level for its price.
I agree. But what it isn't is a high performance vehicle for the price. It's got a 2.5 liter four cylinder engine with 187 horsepower, 178 pound feet of torque. You get front wheel drive as standard. My test vehicle came with the available, Hyundai calls it H-Track all wheel drive. And you get an 8-speed automatic transmission. Jack, I will say this. Even though it's not quick, I really appreciate that Hyundai used a real, quote-unquote, real transmission here instead of a continuously variable transmission. The 8-speed automatic is smooth. It shifts when you expect it to. And there's none of the droning or the whining sound that you get with a CVT. This vehicle is not a great handling vehicle, so I wouldn't take it and like try to, you know, carve canyons or anything with it. But what it does really well is deliver a smooth ride quality, and it's relatively quiet inside. So it's a great family hauler, really comfortable commuter car, and it's pretty quiet on the highway. So even at like 70, 80 miles an hour here on our, I'll use the word plow-torn highways because they have just as many potholes here as the town roads do. It did just fine, and no big complaints there. It's not super quick. So, you know, around 7 seconds to 60 miles an hour. But what that does is, you know, you get enough power for pulling out into traffic, enough power for reaching highway speeds. But once you're there, passing can take a little bit of patience. So I would just say, if you want a comfortable ride, you want to be relatively quiet inside, this is a great vehicle, but don't expect to be excited by it in very many ways. Inside, you get cloth upholstery as standard. This is a 5-seat, 2-row vehicle, not a 3-row vehicle. Jack, as you mentioned earlier, this is a very visually appealing space. So even in the $30,000 trims, you're still getting a cabin that looks more expensive than it is. You get synthetic leather and mid-range trims. My limited test trim came with genuine leather. You also get a leather-wrapped steering wheel and shift knob. And we had heated and ventilated seats in front and a heated steering wheel with heated rear seats as well. Jack, my two children are now out of full-size car seats. We've been talking about this for a while now. Thankfully, I'm not still doing that every time I swap a vehicle. But there's plenty of room in the back seat for the kids, even when you have a 6-foot-plus tall adult in the front seats. And the front buckets are very wide, and you get a lot of space there. Even for my 200-pound frame, I had plenty of room. I didn't really feel like I was crunched in. Additionally, the ergonomics up front are really good, and I want to get your opinion on this. The touchscreens, the gauge display, all the buttons are oriented towards the driver, so you're not sort of reaching around and looking. Jack, what do you think about the tech and the configurations in the cabin?
I think it's just really easy to operate. I think they've kind of nailed the little touches with this vehicle. I like the way the infotainment system works. It was pretty seamless. It doesn't blow you away by being exciting or really interesting, but I think that I'd trade that for usability anytime. I mean, I like the usability of this. I think it's very, very good.
I agree. And one of the things Hyundai does really well is infotainment. The Tucson comes with a 12.3-inch touchscreen, which is larger than many in the class. I think the RAV4 comes with an 8-inch touchscreen. So you do get a lot for your money here. Wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto are standard. Hyundai finally got around to adding wireless connectivity to the larger display in this model. You get Bluetooth, HD radio, Sirius XM, and the whole lot. My limited test trim also had a 12.3-inch digital gauge cluster. It had navigation, wireless charging. And one of the things we talk about with Hyundai's infotainment is how simple it is. It's not quite as flashy as some of the others. There aren't a lot of graphics and transitions and things like that. And what that does is it makes it simpler and easier to use while you're driving, less distracting. You're not hunting and pecking for different menus and trying to swipe through endless functions to get what you want. So simplicity here is key. It's not as fancy, but it's a lot easier to use. Hyundai gives the Tucson a lot of standard safety equipment as in the base trim. So you get like forward collision alerts, automatic emergency braking, which increases into the top trim, which also had blind spot camera system, blind spot monitoring with rear cross traffic alerts, and a whole bunch of others, Jack. So for $40,000, even as the most expensive Tucson you can buy, I still think you're getting a lot for your money here. You get a lot of an infotainment tech, great safety equipment, and a comfortable ride. I just think that if people are expecting excitement, they should look somewhere else. But for a vehicle like this, I don't think you really need it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of amazing that a compact utility like the Tucson at $40,000 or near $40,000 is considered a bargain. But I think that's the situation we're in these days. And, yeah. You know, I think it's a good buy, and I think I like the vehicle a lot. So there you go. I think you nailed it with your description there, Chris. I had the chance to go through what has become an annual tradition with me and a friend of mine. When I was at Kelley Blue Book, I would figure out a way to put together a drive to spring training in the Phoenix area from Southern California with several of my colleagues. We would catch a spring training game or two there and then drive back. I've kept that up since I've left Kelley Blue Book and met a friend in Phoenix to drive the Honda Civic Si. At least that was the purported reason for my visit there. We also saw a couple Cub games that they won, so I was happy about that. I love spring training games. They're just a blast. You get close to the players. It's an interesting time to be there. Lots going on, and you're seeing a lot of players you will never see during the regular season, so that's cool too. But let's talk about cars. The Civic Si, I think, is one heck of a bargain in terms of fun to drive but practicality. I think the only thing that would make it maybe more practical is if it were a hatchback body style instead of a sedan, but I'll take the sedan. I like that. 1.5-liter turbocharged engine is under the hood, so you get 200 horsepower. It's not blow-you-away gigantic amount of horsepower, and it's not all that torquey either, 192 pound-feet of torque. And in the Honda tradition, a lot of this torque is available and a lot of the power is available higher in the rev band than you're used to, kind of motorcycle motor kind of thing. One of the great things about this vehicle, though, is it has a 6-speed manual transmission. In fact, that's the only way you can get the Civic Si. So I like that. And it's combined with a limited slip diff for somewhat enhanced traction. So this is a fun-to-drive vehicle with good suspension tuning, and at the same time, it's fairly inexpensive to get into and has a great deal of practicality. It's a 5-passenger vehicle, too. Your thoughts early on, Chris?
Yeah, I think the Si is peak Honda, Jack. I think it's got the affordable side of things. It's fun to drive. It's got enough performance to be quick but not dangerous. Right. This is just like the Honda Si's and Type R's of old, right? I mean, like, this is what people used to really love. So I think they still do.
Yeah. I mean, I like the interior. I think you're a cloth seat guy too. I certainly am. It has red accented cloth covered sports seats. And I just think they're kind of cool. They're a little more interesting than your typical black cloth seats. It has aluminum pedals to give you a little bit of sportiness, and that's makes them much faster. You know, the car is much faster with those.
Those are really fun when you have snow on your feet, by the way.
Well, maybe you can scrape the snow off your feet with the aluminum pedals sometimes. It has customizable drive modes. It's normal, sport, and an individual setting that I didn't set to my individual settings. It now has rev matching in... It is expanded rev matching in its manual transmission, so that makes things even better. From second to first gear, you now have rev matching beyond all the other rev matching you had. Good all-season performance tires. You know, not summer tires that are going to, wear out in 15 seconds or something like that. But nice grip. I just think this is a good all-around thing. A good-looking vehicle. 18-inch alloy wheels. It has a, somewhat more aggressive grille look. Some aero elements like an under spoiler and a rear spoiler. LED headlights. I think it's a good looking car. What's your take? I know you're a Toyota fan. Does your enthusiasm extend over to Honda, or is it a big rival for you?
Oh, I love Honda too. And I'll tell you, I own a Toyota GR Corolla, and I don't think it looks great at all. I think the Honda Civic looks really good. I think cars like the WRX and the GR Corolla are overdone, but Honda hit the sweet spot. In fact, the new Civic across the line looks great, so no complaints.
Yeah, in this particular vehicle, too, you get the up-level infotainment system with Google built in. I didn't use the Google aspects of it much, but it has a 9-inch touchscreen. It has wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. It worked just fine with the navigation that I needed to do to get around various Phoenix ballparks, you know, get from one end of Phoenix, from Mesa, up to Peoria and back and all that kind of stuff. It also has a 12-speaker Bose premium audio system, so I like that. Good tunes, good stuff. And you know, plenty of safety in the Honda Sensing suite. It has adaptive cruise control, blind spot monitoring. They have improved, they say, the collision detection, or I think collision prevention detection, I think is what they're really looking for there. This is a vehicle that was about $30,000 as I tested it. So in the overall scheme of things, one hell of a bargain, I think, these days.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, you mentioned it gets the up-level infotainment system, all the safety features, and the practicality of a four-door car. So, it's a great deal all around. I actually haven't driven the new SI. I've driven the Type R, so I can't wait to drive the SI.
Yeah, I mean, the SI is the more approachable of, and I think people will be quite happy with that 200 horsepower and the 6-speed manual and have a blast with it. Well, when we come back, we will have a great guest. Sam Fiorani is a friend of the show. He's Vice President of Global Forecasting at Auto Forecast Solutions. The industry is going wild. He's got some wild things to say about it. So we will talk with him when we come back. Thanks for being with us and stay with us. We'll be right back.
IBM will become the official global partner of UFC, the world's premier mixed martial arts organization. Together, IBM and UFC are pioneering a product to revolutionize analytics and information in live sports. This includes unique insights and advanced analysis of live bouts, fighter tendencies, projections of possible outcomes, and method of victory, all of which will be engineered to update in real-time on-screen data. This partnership marks a pivotal win, not only for UFC and IBM, but also for fans around the world who will experience the sport in a whole new way. Sponsored by IBM.
Need a little home makeover to get through the last few weeks of winter? Kohl's is having a big sale so you can give your home a reset. Plus, Kohl's Rewards members save an extra 15% on so much to refresh your space, like stylish decor, cozy pillows, convenient storage, and so much more. So hurry to Kohl's to snag your savings before the secret's out. Select styles. Kohl's Rewards 15% off coupon valid through March 2nd. Must be a Kohl's Rewards member. Exclusions apply. Visit a store or kohls.com for details.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day. Featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo! GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to America on the Road. Jack Niewrad back with you. We have a terrific guest. He's been on the show before. Sam Fiorani is Vice President of Global Vehicle Forecasting for Auto Forecast Solutions. He's a great guy, very knowledgeable about the industry, and certainly it's a beautiful time to talk to him about this because the industry is in tumult, as they say. Sam, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Glad to be here. Love to talk about cars.
Well, there's plenty to talk about, and I think not just cars, but what's going on in the car industry. I mean, certainly it's become big news. It's become front page news, not just business page news. What's going on with cars, tariffs, you know, potential tariffs, fuel economy regulations, you know, potential changes to electric vehicle incentives. Where do you want to start? I mean, we can start anywhere there.
We can start anywhere because everybody's asking questions about where everything's going, what's being disturbed, what's the smooth area, which there isn't. There's just nothing going smoothly at the moment.
Well, it's difficult for car companies who make billion-dollar investments many years in advance and then things change on them. I think they'd like just a very constant playing field. They have no particular sense of one way or the other. Just you know, give us the same thing over and over again. Is that your kind of take on the industry, Sam?
Oh, we all want it to be smooth, and it never is normally, and it's even worse now between the EV transition not going the way the manufacturers planned, and potential tariffs, changes in emissions regulations. Everything is upsetting this apple cart that we call the auto industry, and nobody has a good hold on what's going on, and that's why you're seeing all kinds of changes from production to developments of new vehicles and on the retail end.
What's the big news in terms of changes? So what have you seen in terms of the way production outlooks are and what they've decided to produce versus not produce based on the new playing field?
The bigger story is that the EV transition is taking longer than every manufacturer expected. And because of that, they have to extend the life of internal combustion engine vehicles. They have to develop new internal combustion engine vehicles that they weren't planning on doing just a couple years ago. We're seeing a lot of change in that way. And we have a lot of suppliers coming up to us and saying, what's going on here? Why are we seeing this change? Well, you're seeing that change because buyers aren't ready to buy EVs yet. It's not in the volume that the manufacturers expected. And too many manufacturers are putting new EVs out on the market. So it's just becoming really crowded. And it's pushing down on price. And nobody can make money at the volumes that they're selling right now. So it's going to have to shake out before we see more EVs on the market. We're going to need more customers who are ready to make that leap from internal combustion engines to EVs. And we always expected this transition to take 10, 15, 20 years, and manufacturers expected to be 5 to 10. And that just was never going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of get a sense from what you're saying that you think the transition to EVs will still take place. It's just farther off in the future. Am I reading you right? And expand on that a little bit.
Absolutely. As my associate in my office, Brian, has once said, you know, it's different this time. In past, we've seen the transition to EVs being pushed by California or General Motors or somebody, and then it stopped. Well, this one's different because the technology's there. We're making good EVs as opposed to the ones they built for regulations or the glorified golf carts that we had 40 years ago. These are real cars. And because of that, consumers will buy them eventually, but they have to be convinced that they're going to last a long time, that there's going to be a charging infrastructure around for them to get around, and then the prices have to come down a little bit more. It'll happen, but it's just going to take longer.
Well, and I see one more question mark there, and it hasn't been answered yet, Sam, and that is charging times. I mean, it's a pain in the neck to charge these things. If you're on the road, it's very, very difficult. Oftentimes, you're encountering, even in best-case scenarios, you're encountering a lengthy time to recharge, and many people are not encountering best-case scenarios. That's for certain. Talk about that a little bit, because I think that's a major stumbling block going forward, and I don't see the solution to that.
Well, there's very little solution to that one. It's simple physics that you cannot force so many electrons into a battery. It's just not going to happen much faster than it is now. They've gotten it down to a reasonable amount of time. And if we can build more plazas where you would charge on a highway, so you can go get a meal, and in 20 minutes or half an hour, you can have a reasonable charge in your vehicle. It's not, it's never going to be a 5-minute charge. There could be battery replacements, which will take as long as a fill-up of a gas engine. We could eventually get to fuel cells where we can fuel hydrogen in the amount of time it takes to fill a gas tank. But all those things are out in the future and take a lot more infrastructure. But if we just build a Starbucks and a Burger King next to a charger on the highway, you can stop for half an hour, which you should do every few hours, and get some food, go to the bathroom, and your car's charged.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll work. I'm a grab something and go, take a bio break, fill it up with gas, grab something from the quick stop there, and then hit the highway, because every minute I'm sitting there is a minute I'm not making progress on my trip. But I'm a long and old kind of road tripper, and maybe that those kind of road trips don't happen anymore.
That's the big problem with Americans, is that we want to go. We want to go a long distance. We don't want to stop. We don't want to get up. We've raised a family who travels halfway across the country, and all we do is stop every couple hours to go to the bathroom and fill the gas and grab some food and go. We're never out of the car more than 10 minutes at a time for the whole family on a trip up and down the East Coast. So I get your point, and I think there are more of us Americans like that than yeah. we want to count. But we have to adapt to this new reality that you may have to charge longer. You may have to stop for more than a 5-minute break.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm kind of concerned that new fuel economy regulations, or the easing of fuel economy regulations, will make it even harder to make a transition to EVs. I think you alluded to the fact that we're going to see longer lives for internal combustion engine vehicles than most had predicted before.
We're seeing that. And with the way our political world works, it shifts back and forth. It's a pendulum. And so we're going to see a push to harsh regulations and then easing of the regulations back and forth. We've been seeing it for 40, 50 years. And so this is nothing new. And this will allow manufacturers to provide maybe even V8 engines again for a short period of time at least. We'll see more gas engines, more hybrid engines on the market than the EVs we were anticipating. We're already seeing the development of platforms that were supposed to be fully electric having gas engines re-engineered into them. So Stellantis, when they introduced their Stella platforms 4 years ago, said these were all electric platforms. There are going to be four of them, and they're going to be all electric. And then 2 years ago, suddenly we started seeing gas engines on them. So the manufacturers are adapting to what's going on, and we're going to have four cylinders, six cylinders, maybe some eights, definitely some hybrids going into these platforms that were originally supposed to be fully electric.
Yeah, some of the laggards going to electrification might be winners right now based on what's happened here. And Stellantis being one of them. I also think that, I'm curious about your take on Ford Motor Company and where they are on all this, because they were a big electric player early on, at least in terms of publicity. I'm not necessarily in terms of sales. Now it seems like they backed away from that pretty substantially. Where are they going forward, do you think?
Ford didn't go as gung-ho into this as General Motors. General Motors was building brand new platforms and plants and everything, and whereas Ford had a factory built on the back of a factory to build Lightnings, or converted another plant to build Mach-E's, those vehicles were derivatives of gas-powered platforms. And so they didn't spend as much money to get into electric vehicles, but they had world-class electric vehicles at the beginning, whereas General Motors was building Hummers and Silverado EVs ground up as new EVs. Ford had planned on a next generation of these brand new ground-up EVs with new plants, and they've backed away from that. So we're not going to see the three-row crossover that they'd planned. They're looking at putting gas engines in extended range electric trucks, simply because these trucks can't tow and can't haul with fully electric drivetrains and without needing recharge every 100 miles.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are consumers right now? I mean, what should consumers, let's say you're in the market now or over the course of the next 6 months or so, what's the market going to look like for them?
For consumers in general?
Yeah, consumers in general, maybe people who are considering electric vehicles, you can start with them, but maybe just in general.
In general, we're looking at if the tariffs that are being threatened at the moment go into place, prices are going to go up. If the tariffs are short-lived, we won't really notice anything. But if they go on for 6 months or more, then we're definitely going to see prices rise. Probably short lines for, or short inventories for vehicles like CRVs and RAV4s that come from Canada, or Equinoxes that come from Mexico. Inexpensive vehicles are going to be more expensive because we're not going to get as many vehicles from South Korea or Mexico where they build these entry-level models. It could be a problem if the tariffs go into place. I'm at the point now where I think it's less than 50% that they will, but this is the negotiating tactic that the administration is taking at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's less likely than a lot of people think, too, or, you know, we're being led to believe. I also think, and I'm curious as to your take on this, are we going to see prices rise across the board, or are we going to see prices rise on vehicles that are imported? And I think the market has a tendency to mitigate price increases just based on competition. There's so many brands out there, a ton of competition, and there's too much production capacity.
Yeah, competition will keep the price rises at bay, but when a tariff gets in play, put in place, you're going to see prices rise. It's the way the whole market works. And it's the way any industry works. If you make it more expensive to enter the market, the players in the market will take a little bit more profit. So you'll see the prices go up.
Yeah, even on vehicles that are built in the United States, which I guess is the goal of the whole exercise here, is to get more manufacturing in the United States. What further thoughts? Where do you think we're going to go? Where we will be maybe in a year or so? You're in the forecasting business. You can certainly you read the tea leaves. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, it's likely that we're going to see a renegotiation of USMCA. And if that works out the way it has in the past, we'll see North America working together as one unit again, which is a great thing because it's the only way that this region is going to compete against the EU and China. There's just no industry in the US that is affordable to be exported to compete with the global market on its own. And we need to work as a team between Canada and Mexico to provide the right parts, the right vehicles, everything to compete against large blocks like the EU and China.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds with, you know, the potential for even more production going into Mexico for the lower labor costs in Mexico versus in Canada and the United States, which is antithetical, to what a lot of people in the United States would like to see. Certainly proponents of a manufacturing in the United States, but we shall see. Anything else you'd like to add before we let you go on about your business, Sam?
Yeah, just one last thing. If the incentives for EVs go away, we're likely to see the price of EVs come down. And it's probably not going to be, you'll probably not see the price of them go down, but you'll see incentives. Manufacturers will put $5,000 or $7,000 on the hood to buy an EV in the next 6 months if the incentives go away.
Well, Sam, always great to talk to you. You're so knowledgeable about the industry. I always learn something when I speak with you, and I look forward to doing it again soon.
Great being here.
And stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America,
America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back to America on the Road with co-host Chris Keith. Jackie Red with you, and it is listener question time. We'd love to get your questions and comments. Please send them to editor@drivingtoday.com. That's editor@drivingtoday.com. And let's dive into this question, Chris. This is from Rosie in Chula Vista, California, I think by the Mexican border there. Which new safety technologies are worth paying extra for? That's a really good question.
It is a very good question. I will say this. The good news is that many new cars come standard with advanced safety features like forward collision warnings, automatic emergency braking. Among those features that are often charged extra for, I think blind spot monitoring with rear cross-traffic alerts is a fantastic addition. It will help you from changing lanes into someone. It also assists with backing up. I also think adaptive cruise control is a great addition, and I'm not talking about like Ford's Blue Cruise or General Motors Super Cruise here. Just a standard distance-keeping adaptive cruise control system can be very helpful. And I think pedestrian detection is another good one too, but those are sometimes wrapped in with lower-level features. Jack, I think a lot of this is personal preference too. You know, you and I have talked about turning some of these features off when we get in. So,
yeah.
But those are the ones that I would pay for.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we might not agree on everything, Chris, but we certainly agree on this. Those are the ones, I think you nailed it. I think those are exactly the ones that I think are valuable. And, you know, some like lane centering or lane keeping, maybe not so much, but you kind of can't avoid those. So.
Rear automatic braking is also one that I take a special annoyance with.
Yeah, those are troublesome. Well, that wraps up our show for this week. And of course, I would like to let folks know that my newest crime novel, Only One Thing Stays the Same, it's now available for pre-order. And it includes a special bonus of Ted West's Closing Speed if you order now. So look for that at Amazon. If you like our show, pass it on. Listen on this radio station each week and let your friends know where you hear America on the Road. And of course, our show is available as a podcast, right, Chris?
It is. A quick Google search for the America on the Road podcast will bring us to you on all the major platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the rest. like us, download us, leave us a review. All those things help us, and you can take us along with you wherever you go.
Wherever you go, we'd love to be there, pretty much wherever you go. And we have YouTube and Rumble channels now, so check those out. Subscribe to those if you would like to. We would love to have you do that. Our thanks to our Sports Byline Network stations for carrying America on the road. We are appreciative of that. And most of all, thanks to you for listening to our show. We know you have many, many choices of honors. It's very much. We appreciate that. And join us again next time for another edition of America on the Road.